I mean, if you're a good designer, you'll find a way to improve anything, even if it's subtle. You'll find a way to, like, okay, well, th I made this a little bit better than it was, even if I got to mimic this whack design. I mean, I've done that with logos. It's like.
Welcome back to another episode of the IC Pixels podcast. This is David.
And this is Anthony.
Thanks for coming back again. I know we're a little late with this episode. We are currently recording on Halloween. So, yeah, make sure you brush your teeth.
Oh, you ghosts and, or whatever, never mind.
Ghosts and goblins and ghouls?
Yeah. I went and saw that It movie not too long ago.
I heard it wasn't that good. Like, I heard it wasn't that good.
I don't follow, but who told you that?
I don't remember.
Were they a good person? Or, like...
What do you mean? I mean, I respect their opinion of movies, but, yeah. I mean, I'm not into horror movies.
Based on what?
Just, I don't remember who told me, but... I'm not into horror movies. I literally didn't care.
Yeah. Well, me neither, but I mean, this one, I guess it had a storyline or whatever. I wasn't like dying to see it or anything like that, but no, it was cool though. I mean, it wasn't, because it wasn't like one of those movies that's just trying to scare you. I don't like stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It's like, it needs a more of a point, so that was cool.
All right, well, I'll think about it. Since we've gone directly into our movie segment, I have things lined up so I can watch Atomic Blonde, because I wanted to see that when that came out, and the latest Transformers movie that I never saw. I guess it came out this summer, but I never saw it.
You're wanting to see that stuff?
I mean, it's just on my list of things. When I saw the previews, I was like, yeah, I'll probably catch that. So I have things lined up so I can catch those. Last movie I actually saw was
I hope.
I can either confirm or deny, but the last movie I saw was the... Lego Ninjago. I watched that with my kids.
Oh. How was that?
It's a Lego movie. So I thought Lego Batman was way funnier, like, as an adult.
I never saw that.
Way more entertaining than the other one.
I never saw that. I just saw the first Lego movie. But...
Well, you know how they have, like, kind of adult jokes in a lot of movies now? Yeah. The Batman one had a lot of, like, if you know the Batman story, not even like deep into it, but you know, kind of know the Batman story and you're paying attention, there's a lot of jokes that get thrown in there that are pretty funny. And I thought the whole movie was pretty entertaining because, you know, he's doing that, you know, whichever Batman that was, he was like, I'm Batman. He talks like that the whole time. Yeah, you know, if you've seen the first Lego movie, you know how he acted in there. It's just that, but the whole movie. So it's pretty funny.
Oh, okay. Yeah, what is it? I can't remember what he was saying in there.
Well, he was like, that one girl was his girlfriend, and then I forget, like, no matter what would happen, they were like, well, how'd that happen? He was like, it's because I'm Batman! I don't know, just check it out, it's funny. Because, like, you know, when I watch the movies with my daughters, I'm not always expecting to be entertained, but it was actually funny, so that was good.
That's a start.
Lego Ninjago, not so funny. But it was entertaining enough. I didn't pay to watch it, so I'm fine.
Was it racist?
Was it racist?
I don't know.
I don't think so. So, speaking of racist things, so...
Oh, Thor is supposed to be good. Not that that's racist, never mind. Sorry. Anyway, go ahead.
I saw the preview and I was like, what? Why am I watching this? This doesn't even look interesting. I mean, I'm definitely interested in seeing Black Panther, obviously. And Justice League, I saw the preview. They have like a longer preview for Justice League, and my concern about it is it seems like that one Spider-Man movie where they tried to throw in too much stuff in it. It's like 14 villains and all this. Like, there's because they've got to introduce.
Well, they did that with
they got to introduce a lot of characters.
Yeah, they did that with the Batman versus Superman. I don't know.
I hope they don't screw it up.
Yeah, they will.
Yeah, I mean, given DC's history, they will screw it up. But I think I'll watch it, you know, just...
Wonder Woman was cool.
Yeah, Wonder Woman wasn't bad. But looking at the preview, like, because they got to introduce the android dude, whatever his name is. Cyborg. I don't know why I call it Android. I'm looking at my phone. But yeah, Cyborg. And in the preview, I guess they showed some stuff that made me think they're gonna go through his little story where he's a football store and all that stuff. And then in the preview, there's a lot of stuff about the Aquaman, his whole introduction. The Flash, I don't think they should spend much time introducing that because he's got a TV show already. And then, like, I wish Martian Manhunter was in this too, but, you know,
yeah, that would make... Maybe they'll sneak him in there. I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, but they met the Black quota already, so they can't, like, Cyborg is already in there, so Martian Manhunter. If they bring him in later, yeah. And then they're also got a... In the preview, they're also doing a lot of filling in the gaps on what happened to Superman or whatever, because obviously, you know, he's not dead. So it's like, they have a lot going on. Plus, they've got to fight some bad guys, and they've got to come together and work as a team. And it's just like, all right, guys.
It's a lot. I mean, I don't know how they're going to do all that. I don't know how they're going to do that smoothly.
In under 3 hours.
Yeah. Oh, I saw Blade Runner.
Yeah, I saw you, like, tweeting or something about that.
It was pretty good.
I don't think I ever saw the original Blade Runner, so...
Me neither.
Okay. I don't feel like I need some context. I feel like
I know enough of it about it just because of, you know, it's like one of those cult things or whatever.
Yeah, all I know is the name. I don't know anything about it at all. And it's like a dystopic, you know, future.
Yeah.
That's the extent of my knowledge.
I found like the gist of it or whatever. But I mean, yeah, I never seen it. But no, it was, I mean, you don't have to see it to get this one, but because they kind of go into it. But no, it was good. It was long and it was... I mean, if I described it on paper, you'd be like, that doesn't sound very exciting, but it's just done well. Like, it's not, like, fast-paced or anything like that. I mean, there's fight scenes and stuff or whatever, but I don't know. It's just really, it's visually very beautiful and everything.
Sounds exciting. Mm.
Aesthetics. But, yeah. No, I saw that. So, I mean, I don't know. That's the last thing I saw.
Outside of movies, let's see. I was watching something on Netflix. Right now I'm watching The Zoo on Netflix. It's pretty interesting. It makes me scared of all animals, though. But so, gist of it is basically the animals get tired of... Well, somehow the animals get... they're poisoned by some company that's making, you know, some global corporation is doing things, screwing up animals. But anyway, they get some mutation that causes them to... stop being scared of humans, and then they continue to mutate in different ways, and basically they start to attack humans and destroy technology, because, you know, the only thing that really makes us kind of better than most animals is technology. So they start teaming up, like groups of lions attacking people, ants attacking people, like stuff like that. It's kind of crazy, but it's
a cartoon or
it's a live action. I think it's on TV somewhere. I don't know. I'd heard about it a while back, but then I saw it on Netflix. They got like 4 seasons, so I was like, I'll check this out. I was watching something else. Oh, and I like it. It's not bad, but there was some problematic stuff in the beginning with the whole Africa situation. But there is a, because it starts out in Africa, I guess. But there's a main character who's black, and he's not just like the dumb, muscular, one drive guy with like, he's actually kind of intelligent, and you know, he seems to have some layers to him, which is cool. So,
got a personality. Yeah. That's always useful.
I don't know. Like, I'm sensitive to that type of stuff. I notice it more, but it's pretty interesting. I was watching something else, but I don't remember what it was. But that's what I'm watching now. Oh, I was watching Voltron season 4.
Oh. Yeah, I just finished.
Did you watch Stranger Things yet?
I started on it. Working my way through it. I haven't finished it yet.
But, is it like the same story, did the same kid get lost again, or is it like a whole different storyline this time? Or if you can't say, say.
I mean, he's not lost again. He's there. But I mean, it's just other stuff going on.
Oh, okay.
Still dealing with the
upside down or whatever it's called.
Yeah, still dealing with that or whatever and everything. So
did the girl come back?
No,
is the girl back or 11?
Yeah, okay. She's back. Yeah. But so I mean that I've been watching that and what else did I watch recently? some weird show called The Mist, but
Is that like related to that movie, The Mist?
I think so, probably. Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't know. That's something I would have chosen to watch
on my own. You watch Ozark?
No. I know I'm supposed to or something. I don't know. I think I'd looked at it and I don't know. I just wasn't in the mood for it. So I just moved on. But, I mean, I don't know.
It's pretty good. Check it out. I mean, once you run out of other stuff to watch.
Yeah. I mean, when tonight I was watching Star Trek, a new one. I'm liking it. And another show that's like Star Trek but isn't Star Trek is The Orville.
Okay.
That's I've like,
heard of that one.
Yeah, it's the guy that made Family Guy. He's the main character.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay, I saw something about it. But is that a comedy?
Yeah. But it has real storylines. Like legit Star Trek episodes of like, oh, this is Star Trek, but with like real people making jokes. Like one guy was like, he shot down a ship. He was like, yeah, like getting all hype, and they were like, calm down. But it's like, yeah, like a direct bite of Star Trek, but not Star Trek. But it feels like Star Trek, except for the people who are more joking around and stuff about stuff a little bit. But it's got real storylines. It's like good stories, too. It's like, oh, all right, this is interesting. You know, because, I mean, the complaint with the other Star Trek is that it doesn't feel like the other Star Treks. It's just darker and has black people.
Star Trek always kept one black person. Deep Space Nine, when the main character was black.
Yeah. No, they've been diverse, but no, I mean, it just feels darker in general. It's literally darker in the ship because of the other Star Trek shows. They always had the fluorescence on, but this one is like darker in the ship, and then there's like just the tone of it is darker. Like people getting killed for real. It's not just red shirts. And, like, you know. Actually, there isn't red shirts at all. I mean, it's red shirts, but they're not wearing red shirts. But yeah, it's just like it's just darker all around. Cause that's I was talking to our dad about it, and he was like, "Yeah, I don't know." He likes the Orville though, so as a veteran Trekkie person, he liked the Orville. So
I remember the other thing I was watching. I watched, I guess, the first four seasons of The Blacklist. And have you seen that?
No,
it's okay. After a while, it got real repetitive. But I think that happens to most shows, where it's like, okay, you can't really. We're trapped in this universe. There's only so many things that can happen, so they keep just kind of replaying the same kind of storyline after a while.
Oh,
but it wasn't bad. I don't think if they have some new seasons, I don't think I'm going to follow up on them. But yeah, it was interesting.
Yeah, I mean, the thing a lot of shows is like, once you get to season five, it's like, all right,
yeah. Well, I mean, happened to Walking Dead? Because I think I dropped out around season 3 or 4.
I honestly dropped out now. I mean, it's just, I like dropped out towards the end of the last season. I don't know. It was too stressful. I was like, man, not in this political climate. I can't be watching this. That's why I haven't watched House of Cards yet. I like watched a little bit of it. And I was like, man, this. We got like real life stuff going on. There's too much going on. And I can't like watch. I don't know. I just couldn't enjoy that. It's like it's just gonna stress me out. So, no. But I kind of I mean, because Walking Dead started again, and I haven't watched it.
Yeah.
I mean, I may come back to it later, but it was just like right for now, I'm just like.
Well, after a while, to me at least, and I only saw maybe the first three seasons, but it was like. After a while, it became cyclical where they have the spark of hope. They go. And then everything breaks. Like they went to that farm and everything was cool, and then something went wrong. I forget what went wrong, but then everybody had to leave and they were in a panic and running. And then they went to the prison, everything was fine, and something goes wrong there. And then they go somewhere else and something goes wrong, and
it's like this is like there is the no problem hope. Just it's follows just them worse. And it's like,
all right, we gotta have some kind of redemption besides like, you know, the little love stories and stuff like that. But even the love stories, it's like then the Asian dude gets killed. It's like, what?
Yeah, and I think that part, I mean, a lot of people get killed, but it was just like the way it happened and everything. It was like, ugh. And I know it was like the comic books and all that, but it was just like, I was just like, man, I can't, I need some kind of hope. right now, you know.
Is Michonne still alive last time you watched?
As far as I know, okay. Yeah, she's still around. So. I mean, she's the people love
her. Yeah, they can't kill her or whatever that guy's name is with the bow and arrow.
Rick.
Yeah.
Oh, Daryl. Her, Rick, and Daryl, that'd be good.
I don't know. Rick can die. Rick's annoying after a while.
He can't die. That's the main character.
True, but like, I kind of don't care. I'm fine with him dying.
But I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'll come back to it later, but I haven't been in the mood. I mean, I don't know. It's just like I need something else.
Yeah, yeah. I've kind of fallen so far behind on that, I don't think I'm going to bother catching up. The same thing happened to me with, what was that show? Mad Men. I fell behind, and it wasn't that extremely interesting, so I just never finished it. And then people were all hype about the ending, but I never even cared, because it's like once I fall out of it, it's really gonna have to be a Netflix drought in terms of content before I'll get back into it. So I'm good.
Another thing that a show that's been pretty decent is that was surprisingly it's a show called The Mayor, but. I say surprisingly, like, why would this be good? It's got black people. Why would it be good? But
I saw a commercial. No, it's like, what is this about?
Yeah, that's what I was like, and I was like, let me check it out and watch it. It's actually funny. I was like, oh, okay. It feels like the Office, or I mean, not so much the Office, like more like Parks and Recreation, but without like the little interviews or whatever. It's just kind of, you know, it's funny. It's funny to me. I thought it was pretty good.
All right.
It's just like quick. Entertaining short show, so
that's on Hulu somewhere.
And that's our TV segment.
Okay.
Yeah, it's on Hulu.
I haven't looked on there in a while. So, this is the close out of TV segment. I was talking to somebody this weekend, one of our friends from high school. He was saying, like, basically, between his family, like, so he pays for Netflix, like his brother or somebody pays for Hulu, another family member pays for cable, and then they share all their logins. So everybody and somebody pays for Amazon Prime or whatever. So then they all like it's good. Like one happy family.
That's the way to do it. Yeah.
So yeah, we can talk about that after we finish recording. But for our topic this week, I wanted to talk a little bit about finding inspiration for design. So like when I'm going to design something, a lot of times I may go onto the internet, maybe go on Dribbble or Behance or somewhere, and or maybe even like in some situations, like if I'm working on a website, I may go on to like ThemeForest or, you know, one of those WordPress theme sites or whatever, and look at different themes or templates for sites to get some ideas or to even find something to start from to build a site. So I wanted to talk about like how that has worked for me, at least, or for us in our experience. So, I don't do it as much as I used to. So, like, when I first started out, I would have, what's that magazine? I know we talked about it recently. The magazine, it's a graphic design magazine.
Oh,
creative, yeah, I knew it was creative something, but.
Creative arts or.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I would have like magazines with graphic design stuff, because this was like when I first started out, the internet was around, but I didn't always have the good dial up. So, or I didn't want to wait. So I would look at magazines and stuff for some inspiration. Or I, you know, also go on the internet and get inspiration and ideas by looking at other people's websites or other people's designs and things like that. But a lot of times, as I would go through that, sometimes I would see a design I thought looked cool. Like I saw something in a magazine I thought looked cool or on some website or wherever. When I would try and implement it, a lot of times as I would go through it, I'd realize, okay, that design looked cool in the way they had it set up or whatever, but it didn't work for what I was trying to do because maybe my content was different. I didn't have as good photography or whatever it was. So a lot of times I would end up, spending hours trying to replicate someone else's style or, you know, replicate this inspiration I got from someone else. And then in the end, I ended up having to go back and start over and maybe sketch something out on paper to come up with a good idea and, you know, kind of test things out more effectively before just jumping right in and starting designing. So, I think now a lot of times I'll see things, you know, be it on Tumblr or Dribbble or wherever, design wise and a lot of times like you'll see like on Abdizito and sites like that, I'll see a lot of like logo designs and stuff like that. And a lot of them look cool, but again, a lot of them are for like fake companies or fake situations where if you were designing for something real, this would never happen. Like you would never get a, you know, a client to agree to only have that little copy on a poster or whatever. So I feel like a lot of times looking at those sites can be misleading, because if you try and do something similar or whatever, it's not going to work for you the same way unless you have the same exact stuff. Just like with like a website template, like, cause you know, like I've had people come to me and say, hey, I want my website to look like this site here. And then I can build a site that looks similar to that in terms of layout and, you know, spatial alignment and all that stuff. But then they don't have content that matches that. So then it looks bad when I actually implement it, because they're like, oh, well, I don't have social media. So what are you going to put in this whole section across the bottom? I don't know. And then it could, I don't know. I don't know. That's what I wanted to talk about.
Oh, well, yeah, because I was just going to say that it happens with things. But yeah, I mean, and you know, same token, you look at stuff and it's like, well, you don't have good photography like that. So your site's not going to look like that. Sorry. But yeah, I mean, I've been looking around for inspiration for stuff recently because I'm redesigning a website at work. And like, usually I don't have that much time on my hands with a lot of little projects to actually sit down and do some real research. I've been doing, you know, doing research and then drawing, you know, ideas on a whiteboard and stuff like that. I've never had that much time before to do all that, put that much thought into it. So it's kind of nice in some ways. In other ways, I'm, you know, you get kind of restless. But I've been, you know, I would look up something like, oh, okay, 2018 web trends or something like that, and then go on what's the website? The awards or whatever is it?
The
WW Award or have you? Is that it? No, maybe. I don't have to get where I went, but there's a website with all those things. Is it called the Webbies? Or the little Webbies. You'll get that later. Anyway,
I'm just gonna act like it didn't happen.
Oh, okay, alright. I-E-N-T.
You don't even know how to spell. I-N-T.
H-T-E-M. Wait. H-T-M-L-T-S.
Oh, my goodness. I used to see these YouTube videos of this guy. Of course, he was black, and he was, like, rapping about SEO stuff. I just felt bad.
Oh. Did he have a podcast?
I don't know. He might have, but...
It had to be him, because I think there's anybody else.
He was rapping about SEO, like, I don't know, it was good information, but it was like, I don't know. I thought it was corny.
You weren't ready to cop the mixtape? Oh, it's too bad. No, because he had a podcast with another guy. He's not on there anymore, but I used to listen to it.
I don't feel like there's that much I need to know about SEO.
I mean, I found myself trying to learn a whole bunch of stuff, but like in the situation I'm in now, it's like, no, we want you for your design stuff.
We don't care about SEO. Okay. Or we have somebody else to do it.
Well, they care, but they have somebody that, you know, somebody else that actually knows what they're doing. it's cool. But, I looked at stuff there. I mean, like you said, I mean, some of the things, it was like, oh, okay, I can get something from here, but this other website over here, like, who can actually use that? Yeah, that's cool, and that's interesting that you can slide sideways, but when somebody comes to the website, just some random average person, they're going to be completely lost. And some of those designs, I get worried that it's going to be like, you know, the Flash intros thing. It's like, what happens when technology changes, or like, you know, just based on the new trends that come along, and as quickly as they come along, it's like, you're going to put that much effort into your site to make it do that?
Yeah.
And you're going to have to change it up. Like, in like, well,
I think
2 years,
sometimes it's easy to get, like, I don't know, I like to push the envelope sometimes, but on some stuff, it just doesn't make sense. Like, I know I'm not going to win an award, like a design award for some of the stuff I do, just because I have to think about the customer. And so sometimes looking at those inspiration websites or whatever they are, it kind of makes you like you're saying, restless a little bit, because it makes me want to design stuff like that. But you know, there's not many people out there that are going to pay me to design stuff like that, because they just want a regular site. They don't want something crazy.
Yeah. And there are definitely trends that have been around, or just I feel like a certain standard has developed mm-hmm. over the years that people kind of expect to a certain extent. And depending on what you're doing, you don't want to stray so far from that that people yeah. are confused when they get there. I mean, depending on what industry you're in, I mean, you can go crazy, but other ones, it's like, you don't want people to be so confused when they get there. I mean, there's little things that, mm-hmm. you know, of course, evolve over time, but there are some definite standards that you can, that I like to play around in that neighborhood. So it's like, if I got to change this up in a year or two or something like that, it's not like you just want to rearrange content or something like that to try different things, see what's working better, conversion rates are working better and stuff like that. And then it's like, you don't want to have to recode the whole page just because it's like, you want to do that now? Oh,
yeah. Man. You know. Yeah, you want something that will age well with time. So, it doesn't look dated immediately.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, things that are going to keep on, you know. Like, I mean, I noticed like gradients are making a comeback, which is interesting. Mm-hmm. It's effective, but it's interesting. It's coming back in a different style than they used to be, but. Which is funny because, I mean, I still hate it, but I remember us talking about the Instagram logo. But I still hate it, but it's like yeah. gradients are making a comeback.
Not that kind.
Just not like this. Yeah, no, that's still ugly. But, I don't know. It's interesting to see mm-hmm. how that things change, you know, just looking at newest design. Because a lot of times I don't do that anyway. I don't look and see what's the newest. I just look for something. I find more when I just look up stuff like clean website design, and then I find more things that I feel like actually I can use. Actually
yeah.
use.
Yeah, what I've done, so in situations where it's actually worked, I've done things like, because I actually was watching this video by that YouTube channel, The Future, without the E on the end.
Oh, okay.
And they were talking about, I think it was on there, but somebody was talking about they get ideas from labels for clothes, like the clothing labels. Maybe it wasn't there. I don't know. But yeah, I've gotten a lot of good ideas from basically, like, if I needed an idea for a website, I didn't purposely do it, but sometimes I've gotten ideas from like things in my car, or ideas from like a clothing thing, or something like some different industry, something completely unrelated. But if you look at, find a good design in that area, you may find something good that you can translate into what you're doing. So I've done that several times. And then also, I mean, it just helps me at least to in some ways not go too far outside the box, so that I can implement what I'm trying to do without, you know, undue effort or whatever. And then also one other thing I do sometimes is I'll get parts and pieces of my idea from different places, instead of like kind of, you know, bulk getting
straight up copying,
yeah, straight up copying somebody's whole idea. I'll get pieces from different places and put them together into something. Sometimes it ends up being a mess because it's like, well, this top, because I just designed a poster for somebody a few weeks ago. The top of it was like a cohesive design, looked all right, but then the bottom looked totally different. Oh. And it was a rush shot. I didn't have time to fix it, but it was like, I really should have kind of thought this through, because what worked on the top worked well and worked together. But what I had to do on the bottom, because the amount of text and stuff they wanted to include, I just had to do something completely different, and so I had to make kind of a border. Like, you could easily just fold that thing in half, and it would be two separate designs.
Yeah, I mean, I've done that before. It's like you put two, like, websites, you put two things together. It's like, well, I like this one, and I like this. And then you put it on paper, and it's like, oh, well, that, you know, that doesn't play very well together.
Yeah.
I mean, it does. I mean, if you do it right, and you have the time to really think about it, you can develop something new based on those two things, but you just got to find a way to balance those two different styles. Because it's easy to, you know, you see a style of something, it's like, oh, I want to do that. Mm-hmm. Then you start working on it, and then it's like, oh wait,
this isn't gonna work.
I have too much content to make this even, you know,
yeah,
even work. So you have to, you know,
well, that's,
you end up with a design at the top, and then in the bottom is just like a white block.
Yeah, well, that's happened to me several times where I have a good, what I think is a good design idea, but then it's just the person's content fails me, so I can't do the design because either they have too much content or they have too little content. That's with like graphic design stuff and with websites. And that's kind of, in my opinion, one of the struggles I have to go through when working with clients is making sure they understand, like, you see what you like, but make sure you have stuff that matches that. Like, you have content that matches all that area. You want a poster like that? Is your content short enough to fit that? You want a website like that? Is all your tech short enough to do that? So it's easier, I'll say, on websites where things don't change very much, or like, you know, it's just like a business website and stuff like that. But like, let's say you're building a website where users have to create a username and password and they log in, and then at the top right, it's got their username and password or their username, like welcome Anthony, whatever, something like that. Mm-hmm. That's harder to design for. Because I've designed stuff like that, and I was like, okay, well, it's going to work great. Cause my name's David, and my last name's not that long, so it'll be easy. And then when we started testing it with different users, then there's some guy whose name was like Richard Burkholder or something. He had a really long name. And yeah, it broke the whole design. And I'm like, crap.
Yeah, no, I've had that happen on business cards.
Yeah, like, yeah, the same thing definitely really applies on business cards. Because people have these wild, long email addresses.
You absolutely had to hyphenate.
Yeah, like, we don't need all your names in your email address. Like, yeah, who cares that you was divorced or whatever? Just pick one name.
Yeah.
Tim.
Or got married. Just, you know, pick one. Or stick with what you had before. Nobody actually cares.
Yeah. Well, the same thing happens with, like, social media, too. Because people... I was doing a business card for somebody last week, and, like... Their Twitter handle was short, their Instagram handle short, but then Facebook, they wanted the thing all spelled out. So facebook.com/ whatever their page name is. And so that threw off the whole design, and I'm like, do you really need to promote this Facebook? Why don't you drop this so I can keep my design looking good?
Yeah. I mean, why do they insist on it? I mean, well, yeah, that's
right. But that's our segment of that's when clients ruin your design and not on purpose.
Yeah. Well, recently I designed business cards and I looked at who's got the longest name? Mm-hmm. Let me design with their name in mind.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we'll work backwards from there. So,
Kind of the whole thing about getting inspiration from stuff on the web or whatever. You really have to look at everything with an eye to think about all the possibilities, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. You can't think, this is a great design, I like it, I should do something similar. You gotta also think, okay, so how much content are they gonna have, how many names, blah blah blah, all that other stuff, and then you can come up with your, because all that may mean that your idea that you thought was so cool is not even gonna work at all.
Yeah, because a lot of that stuff is either, there's really cool stuff. It's
based on hypotheticals.
Well, yeah, it's either a company that's got the budget and the recognition that they ain't got to do all this kind of stuff that other companies got to mm-hmm. do to make sure you know who they're mm-hmm. talking about. So, like, Nike could do a super clean design because it's like, what else is there to say?
Put the check.
Put the check and we'll cut the check, you know. Badoom. Well, no, Badoom was wrong for that, but... never mind. But yeah. Or, never mind.
Well, so this isn't kind of along the topic, but I try and encourage people to design stuff like they are a higher end company than they are. Or I encourage clients to accept the design that's more higher end than they think. Because a lot of people that I run into, at least, they want that high end look. They think they want it, but then when you show it to them, they're like, but it doesn't have my name on it enough, and I need to put all my social media on here, and I need more pictures of me, and they just need more and more and more, and then...
And I need my services described in detail.
Yeah, and it's like,
On every... It's like, do you want people to read this? Or you just, you know, I mean, do you want people to actually look at this longer? Or did, you know, or just get turned off by a wall of text? Yeah. But, oh, that's what I was saying. Yeah, it's either a very high-end place that can do that kind of stuff like Nike, or this is a college assignment
project. Yeah, yeah, so it's all hypothetical, and it's like all the text is freaking.
It's like, of course all the text fits, because that's lorem ipsum. You didn't have to, you know. Well, it may not be lorem ipsum, but yeah, it's like super clean. Nobody critiqued this except your teacher, you know. Nobody's like, hey, no, I actually need this on here because, you know, oh, we got this. Oh, we need this disclaimer on here. And, you know, nobody's telling you that. So you can do that super clean, you know, with no, you know, well, minimal, like, you know, input from the people that are actually going to pay you, you know. So
well, I think that's a very good point, because I think, you know, in college, you're designing for your teacher. And so your teacher is a designer. Your teacher is not a... you know, it's not a customer or business, an uneducated business person. They're looking for what's the best design. And I think that's, it took me a while, especially after college, when I was doing work for people, because I was just like, let me do the coolest design. Like, so when I did my internship in college, I was out here trying to do.
It took you a while to stop doing this, working this.
Yeah, I was trying to do the most amazing design. And like, yo, son, chill. We have a lot of text that needs to go on here, and you just took it all up with this design. It's cool. Like, they said thanks, but they were like, you know, we have a style guide. Now, you need to follow our style. It was wild boring, but I was like, okay, I can follow your style. And I started doing some better stuff that they, you know, they were happy with. But at first they weren't unhappy, but they were like, yo, what are you doing?
Like, chill. Yeah. No, I mean, because you've got to, you know, yeah, people, some places don't have style guides where just, but, you know, more established places, they're going to have that. People are, you know, actually serious about their brand.
But, you can't, like, even if they don't have a style guide or whatever, you can't just run, like, roughshod all over their brand and just have them looking all fancy when they've been doing, like, the cheap stuff that works.
Yeah, because I feel like you come in and you think that, you know, just like, oh, you know, that you're wide-eyed and bushy-tailed fresh out of college or whatever, and you just feel like, you know, I can turn things around for this company. Think you the new, whatever the chick's name was that did the Nike check. Like, it's like, no, it's not like that. I mean, people are going to have changes, and once you get done designing this, making sure the text is pixel perfect and every line break is perfect and all that kind of stuff, somebody's going to come in and be like, oh, well, we need to add this line of text here and something like that. It's just going to ruin your whole thing. I'm not saying don't do that stuff, but, you know, don't get so married to it. And I think that's just something that you learn with experience. Like, just, you know.
Yeah, I remember I was working on, I think it was for either like a car salesman or like a prefab home company in Alabama, and I was working on like an advertisement for them. So I wanted to make it look all designy. And I put something together. It was all clean and stuff. And they were like, no, we need it to look as close to what it normally looks like as possible. We appreciate all your effort. And it was basically like they knew what worked. Because if you made it look all designy, then it would kind of turn, like, because they're who their customers were and all that type of stuff. They would be attracted to a certain type of thing. And I was trying to make it look too high end. I mean, maybe I'm just used to the finer things, but I don't know. So,
like, oh, y'all basic.
Oh, you want some basic design? But so I had to dumb it down a little bit, and I was like, it felt bad to do it. And you know, of course, that you're never going to see that work in my portfolio. But I think that's something important to know how to do as a designer, to be able to kind of. I won't say code. Well, code switch is a name I could use for it, because you got to be able to switch into that whack design mode. Not that it was bad design per se. It just wasn't as good as it could have been. It wasn't as nice as I thought it could have been. So you got to be able to switch into that sometimes to meet the customer's needs.
I mean, if you're a good designer, you'll find a way to improve.
Even
if it's subtle, you'll find a way to, like, okay, well, I made this a little bit better than it was. Even if I got to mimic this whack design. I mean, I've done that with logos. It's like, you know, coming to the company and it's like, well, your logo's whack, but they got to keep it. So they're not ready to change it, but I can at least, you know, make some adjustments so it's a little bit better, you know. At least you leave. When you leave, it's like, okay, well, I did that. They're in a better place than they were, you know?
Well, I think that's important, too, because if you look at a lot of these companies that actually have decent logos or whatever, they've had them for years. And it's been, like, a lot of little small incremental changes. Because if you look, like, at the history of Google's logo and, like, Coke's logo and stuff like that, it's small tweaks. It wasn't like somebody just came in and, like, in 1953, Jamarius Coleman came in and revamped everything. Like, no. They're not going to let you do that.
Fresh out of college.
Like, listen.
Showed their portfolio and they were listen, like, listen, Jamarius, wow.
You're an intern. You cannot change the logo for Coke.
If that's even your real name.
And no, we do not want your mixtape. I don't know where I came up with the name Jamarius Coleman, but...
I don't know, but...
I'm sure there's someone with that name. Shout out to you, Jamarius.
One day you'll
people will see your vision. See
your dreams. Your fruition.
So, I guess...
Or blemish. Flourish.
Yeah, you get that flourishment.
Yeah.
But I guess to summarize, I think...
I think we got
we did. But to summarize, talking about like finding inspiration, I think the two tips I would give would be basically, you know, feel free, look at like the hypothetical designs. Look at like Dribbble sites and stuff like that. Look, but I would say also don't only look there. So look in other places, because I think when you go to a site and like Google graphic design inspiration, like you're going to find graphic design inspiration, but the most inspirational stuff you could probably find is probably not going to be found on that site. You know, look around in the world around you, things around you, that type of stuff. Because like I've gotten inspiration for stuff from photography, from photos, just looking outside at stuff. Like the video I was watching, someone was talking about, they got inspiration from like the tags on clothing, that type of stuff. You can find inspiration all over the place. So look somewhere else besides the obvious places. Because if you think about it, everybody that's trying to design something, or a lot of people that are trying to design something, are looking in the same place. So if you want to try and do something different and be interesting, look somewhere different. And then also, that's one thing. And then, like we talked about, you definitely want to consider the amount of content and stuff you're going to have. Because I've had people... I didn't have people. Let me say this. When I started, a lot of times I would start trying to think about what I wanted the design to look like based on half of the information. So, like, someone may say, I need a poster design and the name of the event is the microphone. So, I already have a bunch of ideas on what I can do with that. But I don't know, there's 47 artists performing and we need pictures of all of them. And we want a sponsor's logo. And we want... bios on the poster.
And social media for each person.
And our website. And our social media.
Full URL. With HTTPS.
Yeah. Can you include the www on our website address? Like, God. Y'all are killing me.
Somebody asked me. Somebody told me. It's like, why don't you put the... on a business card. Somebody's like, you should put www. I was like, when was the last time you typed www?
Well, it's worse when they ask for the HTTP // or whatever. I'm like, what? Really? Mm-hmm. But anyway, like, so my point is, if you don't have all the content, like, think about that as you're looking for inspiration, or even as you're planning out your design, sketching stuff out, kind of think about hypothetically how much content there may be and have plans to be able to adjust for more content. Because I've definitely gotten, you know, several hours down the design road and then had to backtrack or in some cases start over because the amount of content changed or whatever. And of course there may be situations you really can't do anything about that, but you know, get as much information as you can about what you have to fit on there up front, because that'll help you plan things out. Do you have any tips or input?
I mean, like you said, find inspiration in other places. That'll just make your, you know, creativity stronger.
Make it brolic.
Yep, brolic. Make sure your brand is strong. Die for the high. Oh, wait, different podcast. yeah, I mean, because, you know, for things I do. I mean, that's part of the reason why I do so many different things, is because I'll get inspiration from different directions depending on what I'm looking at. And if you're trying to create something new, it's best to look outside of, you know, where everybody else is looking. Mm-hmm. It's like for website themes, I've definitely looked at those and it's like, these are all the same. They just use different photography. They use the same tools. This is, I can do this with any theme.
I feel like that is the truth in terms of like WordPress themes and stuff I've looked at recently. They are all basically the same. I haven't seen anything that's that drastically different where I'm like, wow. It's like, oh, okay, you guys used tan instead of black.
Yeah. I mean, some of, I mean, they look pretty good or whatever, but yeah, I mean, if you're trying to look for some, I mean, and you know, WordPress has got limitations and stuff like that. I mean, and these are functional things, so I get it, but yeah, I mean, it's, look somewhere else. Just really think about, like, since I've had time on the website I'm working on now, I've really been thinking about the flow of the page and, like, you know, controlling the viewer, kind of like an artist would do with a painting or any, or a photographer, just, you know, you're trying to guide the eye, really thinking about composition and encouraging people to scroll down the page and stuff like that. Like, really put some thought into that, not just so much, oh, this looks cool and this goes cool over here. It's like, you know, but really think about what is going to,
what you want the user to do.
Yeah, like, what do you want them to do? How do you want them to act when they're on the page? Like, I was looking at something today and I thought, like, you know, this is more so like how somebody would lay out a magazine. They put this thought into how these columns of text are that makes you want to scroll down.
Yeah. Even
if you're not reading it yet, you're going to scroll down just because it's guiding your eye down. I mean, and that's the goal. You need to be functional, but you want it, I mean, you want it to be functional, but you want it to be functional. That doesn't make any sense. But
well, it's like those those stance works people. They're always like form over function.
Yeah,
I say with design, I say function over form. Well, in some cases, I think you need to balance the two. But function is going to get you a repeat customer. Form is may get you an award or on some Dribble post or something like that, but function will get you a repeat customer. So if you design it well and the customer gets hits or sales or they get compliments on their business card or whatever, you're going to get work.
Yeah.
So that's because like we talked about earlier, I've designed some stuff that just didn't look that great or the design was kind of disjointed, but people got the message and they came to the event and I got called again. So
ideally
the design would have been great, but that doesn't always happen.
I mean, you make it look, you know, make like it look I do good.
As much as I can given the time and the, you know, the content I'm given. Yeah. But I completely agree with what you're saying. Like, it's important to get outside of that bubble, because if I spend all my day, like, I know, like, there were some times in my life when I would, you know, work 8 hours a day and then come home and do graphic design work on the side. And so I was spending a lot of time kind of looking at the same type of stuff. And it made it difficult to come up with inspiration. All right, get some ideas from the web or whatever. But then a lot of times, like we talked about, those ideas would end up being dead ends, or they wouldn't always work out as well as I wanted them to. A few times they did, and it was nice, but a lot of times they didn't. So I think it's very important to, you know, diversify your bonds, nigga. But not that, but also diversify your experiences so that you're not just only, you know, sitting on the computer all the time. Because I get lots of ideas when I'm out playing basketball, or like yesterday I was playing tennis with my kids. I got some ideas. Tonight I went skating with my kids. I didn't get no ideas. I didn't fall either. So
it takes a lot of concentration. So you can't really zone out and do that yet. Well,
yeah, but I feel like all that type of stuff, you know, it gives your mind some space and some time to think about other things.
Yeah, you need to close those tabs out. I mean, and while you're at work, get up and go outside. Go walk around or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I do that all the time. I'm getting bored. Well, not bored. I mean, I got things to do, but I get restless. Or something. I don't know. I just can't sit in one place for that long and just get a little... It gets depressing. So, I mean, I go outside or walk around or something like that, or go get snacks. I don't know. Do something. Outside of work, make sure you're filling your day up with other things that have nothing to do with what you're doing, just so your brain can have room to breathe. I mean, do some push-ups. I've been doing push-ups in the bathroom at work. Not on the floor, because that's gross, but, like, on the sink, because, like,
I was gonna say what? That's gross, but
yeah, no, you just lean on the sink and then just kind of like, you know, or you can do like the tricep dips on the sink.
No,
I mean, you got to do more because it's easier, but I've been doing that at work. Just, you know, if I go to the bathroom, I can just, you know, kind of get my workout in. But no, I don't know. I mean, just, you know, just do things to keep your mind going and to just break up the routine. I mean, I think it's a good way to get inspiration. I mean, and also, I mean, like I mentioned, I've been drawing on whiteboards. Like, I mean, I have a notebook I can draw in, but mm-hmm. I've been liking drawing on the whiteboards, and then I got mad dry erase marker colors. And like I can color and all kinds of stuff. And I don't know. It's helped me think about it because I can easily step back from it and look at it, draw, step back, look at it, and I don't know. I'm just liking that better than like on the notebook or even in Photoshop because like you're sitting there trying to design in Photoshop. It's like it's way too much work
yeah.
to get to where you to make some to design something that you don't actually like.
Yeah, yeah,
yep. It's like I'd rather draw this on the board or something like that. And if I hate it, I mean, you know. When I get something I like, then I'll go to Photoshop.
Well, I know we've had talked about this in one of our previous episodes a while back where we talked about like not jumping into the digital tool so quickly and spending more time with, you know, pen and paper or whiteboard or whatever you want to call it. Because I think that mm-hmm. also, that if I was going to provide another tip, that would be, it would be that like kind of try and find a way to give your designs a test run. Like, so if you got some idea from some website, you saw somebody Instagram post or something and that gave you an idea to do something, then do a quick test run in the way that's gonna cost you the least amount of time. So like sketch it out on paper and see like, okay, so I got maybe 10 lines of text and I'm gonna put the words over here and the picture's gonna look like this. Sketch it out and then hopefully you'll be able to see whether that's gonna work or not very quickly instead of opening Photoshop and putting it all together, which will take longer potentially, and you'll still, you know, you may come to the same conclusion like, oh, it didn't work, but you now you're an hour in.
Yeah, like mad layers and like all kinds of yeah
layer effects and mad lens flares.
Yeah, it's just way too much going on.
You apply all those beveling boss layer palette things. I forget what they're called, but anyway, blending options to your layers, that's what I'm talking about. Beveling and Boss. I remember when Beveling and Boss was like, I used to do that a lot.
That sounds like your company name, Beveling.
Yeah. Were you in an accident? Call Beveling Boss. All right,
Beveling Boss. Sorry.
Yeah, if Rick Ross ever shaves and teams up with Bevel, who's not a sponsor of this episode, then it could be Bevel and Emboss.
Not yet. The brand isn't strong enough yet. Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that's it for this week. If you're listening to this and it's Halloween a year from now, or you listen via a time machine or something, then enjoy your Halloween. Be sure to check us out on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. I think that's all. SoundCloud, YouTube,
iTunes.
Oh yeah, we're on iTunes. We're on Stitcher. That FM, not Last FM, but some other. We're on some other.
Tune platform. In.
But anyway, yeah, tune in. Just Google IC Pixels Podcast. You'll find us.
Tell Alexa.
You could tell Alexa will find us too.
Well, you used to tune in. Yeah.
Oh. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah, Alexa knows about us. Why don't you? Mm-hmm. Also,
hold on. Alexa's talking to me now.
She's like, "What you talking about?"
I'm talking to you.
Also, it's getting cold outside, so definitely check out our Threadless shop if you want to buy a shirt,
hoodie season,
or a hoodie. You know, just be careful. Don't look threatening or whatever.
Yeah, try not to be black and wear a hoodie. Yeah.
But yeah, that's it for this week. Thanks for tuning in.
Yep.
Do you have a word of the week?
Nope.
All right, the word of the week is nope. All right, and we're out.
Okay.